Hello there, this is Evangelist Timothy Groover coming to you from the Holiness Bibles for the Blind studio here in Ashtabula, Ohio. This is the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 tells us, where the word of a king is, there is power, and he may say unto him, what doest thou? Today on the Word of the King, we're going to be speaking of how to have the right Bible, right doctrine, and still be Laodicean. Before we get started here in the Word of the King, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, dear God, and again, Lord, we pray that you would please, Lord God, use this message now, dear God, to minister, dear God, to your saints, Lord, to, Lord, re-emphasize, dear God, and reconfirm, dear God, the truth of how, dear God, we ought to love one another. Jesus himself said, but this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And Lord God, I pray, dear God, even as the love of you, the living God, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, we would, dear God, manifest, dear God, a holy love for one another in the household of faith, no longer being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, through faith in the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we truly, dear God, in manifesting our love for one another, manifest all the more our love for you, even as Jesus himself said, as we're going to see here in this message, that as much as you've done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. May we be ever so mindful, dear Lord God, of the fact, dear Lord God, that we have been commanded not only to believe on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, but to love one another. And even so, Holy Spirit, I pray you would go forth, convicting souls of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Father, go forth, drawing souls to the Son now, who have yet to be quickened, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would go forth, dear God, saving souls now, making them partakers of your election of grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And so, we'll start off now hearing the Word of the King by playing a song that I'm sure a number of you are familiar with, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll share till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll share my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
We are told in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And also in 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Again, today we're talking here in the Word of the King on how to have the right Bible, right doctrine, and still be Laodicean. Starting today in the Word of the King, please turn to Revelation chapter 3. Starting in verse 13, we're going to read down through verse 20. It is written, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Colossians says, for by him were all things created. For he is before all things, by him all things consist. Verse 15, Revelation 3, Jesus says to this church, Laodicea, I know thy works, but thou art neither hot nor cold. But thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. It is written, Revelation 16, verse 15, Jesus says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Again, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, again, verse 20, Revelation 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, Jesus says, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Many a preacher, many a believer uses this verse here, Revelation 3, verse 20, in their soul winning, and they use this verse as though it's addressed to the world, to those who are not born again. Ultimately, Revelation 3, 20 is not written to the world, dear listener. It's written to the church. And in this context, it's written to this church here in Laodicea. And I would like you now to turn over to St. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. St. Matthew 25. Keep in mind, Jesus also tells this church at Laodicea, he speaks of them as being blind. St. Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus speaking, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Jesus Christ, he is coming back to judge the quick and the dead. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Verse 36, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Verse 38, when saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Verse 39, or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, Jesus goes on, and the king, speaking of himself, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Verse 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Verse 46. Jesus concludes in this text. He says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If you died right now, do you know for sure that you would be entering in as the righteous to life eternal? Where would you? Do you have assurance that you would not be amongst those who would go away into the everlasting punishment that Jesus spoke of in this context? Would he say unto you, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Or would he say unto you, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Now in this context here of Matthew 25, Jesus says, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Just a word for you who call yourselves pastors out there. Jesus speaks in the context of St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He says, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you pastors, you have a responsibility before God. We're told in the context of the book of James, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You take it upon yourself to take the office of a bishop or pastor, and somebody comes to your fellowship on any given Sunday, any given day of the week. You have an obligation before God to feed them as those who hunger after righteousness. You have an obligation to feed them the meat and the milk of God's word. We're told that the babes, the spiritual babes in Christ, they have need of the sincere milk of the word. And then there's the meat for those, dear, that we're told in the book of Hebrews. There's the meat for those who have moved on in the things of God. But whatever the case, you have an obligation to feed those who come into your midst as those who are hungering after righteousness. And also, you have an obligation to quench, as it were, the thirst of those who are thirsting for righteousness with the water of God's word. Jesus himself said, in the context of washing the feet of the disciples, Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if one's faith is to be increased even after they've come to faith in Jesus Christ, they must be spending time in the water of God's word, and the daily cleansing that comes through that and the blood of Jesus Christ. But anyways, Pastor, when you become a respecter of persons in picking and choosing who you will and who you will not feed the words which are spirit and life, the words of God to, you ultimately are a respecter of persons indeed, and you commit sin, according to James chapter 2. And if you're going to be a respecter of persons in terms of who you will and who you won't feed the word of God to, then you ultimately need to examine your motives and ask yourself what you are doing in such a position to begin with. Do you really have the heart of a pastor? If you would dare turn away one who comes to you in the name of Jesus Christ seeking to be fed as one who hungers for righteousness, would you say you have the heart of a pastor if you would even think of turning one away who comes to you in the name of Jesus Christ claiming to be God's child, and you turn them away and you refuse to give them the water of God's word and thereby quench their spiritual thirst for righteousness? Again, examine your heart, examine your motives if you conduct yourself in such a manner. And for you Christians who are listening to this, beware, because there are such men out there posing as pastors who will treat you in such a fashion. I speak as a victim of such treatment myself, and God is more than able to get you over that. Be not discouraged. Just press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and let God deal the pastor his blow if indeed he needs one. He's more than able. In the meantime, you just pray for him. But continuing on here, 1 John chapter 4. And actually, before we go to 1 John chapter 4, since we're already in the book of Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, in this context, is speaking to his disciples. And we are already the halfway point here in the Word of the King. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you. Today we are talking on the Word of the King about how to have the right Bible, the right doctrine, and still be Laodicean, lukewarm, ready to be spewed out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Here in St. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24. Jesus speaking, and it's written, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field." Verse 25. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, for those of you who are listening and do not know, you may be wondering, what is a parable? A parable is simply a means whereby Jesus, while he was on the earth, he took that which was in the physical realm of nature, which you could see, one could see with their physical eye, and he simply used that to convey or to speak and give understanding to his followers of a spiritual truth therein. So it's basically using the natural, using the physical to convey or speak forth the spiritual. In a nutshell is what it is. In this parable, Jesus goes on. Verse 26. Let me read the whole context here again. Verse 24 of Matthew 13. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." Verse 27. "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" Verse 28. "He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" Verse 29. "But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." Verse 30. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." A tare is nothing more than a good old-fashioned English word for a weed, a worthless weed. It was good for nothing but to be burned. The wheat, of course, having a much more profit to the reaper. And the wheat is that good thing which was sown ultimately to be brought forth through the good seed. Now, why did Jesus tell his followers in verse 29, "But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them"? He made it clear, you're not supposed to take it upon yourself, Christian. You're not supposed to take it upon yourself, pastors, to separate the tares from the wheat or the wheat from the tares. And he says why? "Lest you gather up the tares and you root up also the wheat with them." How many a Christian has been hurt by how many a pastor? And again, I speak from experience, because some pastor took it upon himself to do exactly what Jesus Christ said should not be done. And in doing so, by uprooting one of the wheat from his midst, telling the wheat to basically bug off, "I have no use for you. It may be good for you to go to another church." He, in doing so, basically, he treated one of the brethren in such a manner. Remember, Jesus said, "As much as you have done unto one of the least, he is my brother, you have done it unto me." By kicking that brother out of the midst, he kicked Jesus Christ out of the midst, whether or not he wants to believe it. And that is how you can have the right Bible. Listen up, all you King James Bible believers out there, all you Baptists out there, that's how you can have the right Bible, the right doctrine, and still be Laodicean. All you got to do is treat one of the brethren, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, as much as you profess to be, like one of Satan's children, and the God of the harvest, who said you're not supposed to separate the tares from the wheat, but to wait until the time of harvest, is going to have an issue with you. And if you behave in such a manner, Christian, if you behave in such a manner, pastor, you ought to repent. Continuing on, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through chapter 5, verse 2. You know, these Baptists here, so often they like to have the revival meetings. And I'm thinking, what's revival got to do with it, Lord? You say there in the book of Isaiah that, first of all, you only revive those who are broken and contrite spirit and tremble at your word. You say that you ultimately revive those who are of a humble heart. There's a lacking of humility out there, even with a lot of the Baptists today, so I don't know what revival has to do with any of these revival meetings, quite frankly. In fact, I think there are a lot of these revival meetings that go on are nothing but a joke to God. It's like this: if you want some revival, why don't you get humble, first of all? If you want some revival, why don't you start trembling more at God's word? And that includes what God's word has to say about your treatment of the brethren. 1 John 4, verse 19. Speaking of our love to God, we love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And again, that's a message in and of itself right there. We don't got time to get into right now. But verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, if you profess to be born again, or you profess to love God, but you don't want to be around God's children who love God, it's a sure indication that you are not a lover of God, and that you are, in fact, a liar. And we are told that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So why not examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith? Know ye not that except Jesus Christ be in you, ye are reprobates? Continuing on, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It is written, thou shalt not kill. Here in 1 John 3, verse 15, God equates ungodly hatred in your heart for your neighbor, howbeit for your brother, as murder. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're told that Jesus Christ left an example for us in his suffering of how we ought to suffer for one another, even as we suffer for him. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Why not take 1 John 3:17 and go back to Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, and read those passages there, in light of what we just got done reading here in 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, as the saying goes, talk is cheap. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Jump down to verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Have you believed on the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ? If you've truly believed on God's Son, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, then you've learned truly to love one another as professing saints of God, even as he gave us commandment. Again, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, but this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Oh, that God would help us to have charity, and put on the bond of perfectness, which is charity. 1 John, again, chapter 3, verse 10. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 8 through 11. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, speaking of in Christ, in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Indeed, Jesus Christ is that true light which layeth every man that cometh into the world, we're told in St. John chapter 1, verse 9 of 1 John chapter 2. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Excuse me, verse 10, 1 John 2. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. There it is. God told the church at Laodicea that they were, among other things, blind. I guarantee you the church of Laodicea had a problem with loving the brethren in light of this text right here that we just got done reading. We're told, again, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Again, you can have the right Bible, the right doctrine, and all you got to do is kick one of the brethren out of your midst and treat them like a dog, and Jesus Christ will be knocking on the door of your church, even as he's knocking on the door of Laodicea. And he's saying to you, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Again, you say Jesus loves you. He says, as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. So why don't you be zealous, therefore, and repent if you have been guilty of treating the brethren in such a manner, and thereby treating Jesus Christ in such a manner. 1 John chapter 2, winding down here slowly in the word of the King. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, that term propitiation implies substitute payment. But my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, we're told in Paul's letter to Timothy, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're told in 1 John 2, verse 1, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we're told, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom, that is a payment, for all to be testified in due time. Roman Catholic, you don't need Mary as an advocate. She can't serve as your advocate. You don't need that one you call Father, that priest, that sinner in a religious robe. You can't have him as your advocate. No, we're told, whereby doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Even those religious Pharisees knew that that was blasphemy to imply that some mortal man had the power to forgive sin. Oh, but Jesus Christ, he made it clear that he is the Son of God. The Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. Believe this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Again, slowly winding down here on the Word of the King. Galatians chapter 5. We're told here, in verse 13 of Galatians 5, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Got a question for you. Again, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said the greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, in light of Galatians 5, verse 14, all the law is fulfilled in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How is loving your neighbor as yourself fulfilling the greatest command? Which Jesus said is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The answer is in this. Jesus Christ, he is the omnipresent neighbor. He's your omnipresent neighbor. Well, you may not see him per se after the flesh, but his spirit fills heaven and earth. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Yes, Jesus Christ, he's the omnipresent neighbor. So in loving your neighbor as yourself, you're loving the omnipresent neighbor who is Jesus. Is he your omnipresent friend? Is he your omnipresent Lord tonight? The good news is, the omnipresent Lord, the omnipresent Jesus, the omnipresent neighbor, he is willing to be the friend of sinners. I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're told, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We're told, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not covet. The covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thou shalt not steal. Jesus said, whosoever entereth not by the door to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. All just by seeking to get up into heaven, seeking to get right with God by some other means than his son, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. The door of the sheep makes you a thief and a robber, and that you are seeking to rob God of the glory that belongs to him and alone. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Call upon the Lord today. This is given unto you from heaven. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. God bless till next time.